do not want to be late for drinks. Third annual membership meeting of the Mulch and Soil Council. I'm Bob Lagasse, as you know, and I'll be your moderator for this session. First thing, again, we want to thank our sponsors for their generous contribution, and our diamond sponsors are AgriCoatings, ColorBiotics, Florida Coastal Colors, our Platinum, our Premier Tech, Invinia, Lively, and Vermeer. Our gold sponsors are Bandit, Voltec, GH Glennon, Profile, Ecoverse, and Social Marks Media. And our silver sponsors are Chromascape, Milagro, ProAmpac, Greener Solutions, Reliance Packaging, and SPR. So thank you so much for your contributions and your support of the council. The first item on our agenda is the President's Report from Jim Weber.
Hello, my name's Jim Weber, obviously, since my last speech, I guess, but been in business since 1984. This is my wife and I back in 1989, just after I got done inventing the flux capacitor. But that's typically what I look like coming home from work back in the day. So recently we had a neighbor in the industrial area that we're located catch on fire. It was a car shredding company. So if you see the little red circle, that's where we're located, and then that's where his fire was. And as a result of his fire, there was an order issued by the mayor to go around the fire department, go hit up all the industrial businesses to look for any other issues that maybe the industry might have or the city might have in that side of town. So the difference between, and so we had a visit from the fire department, and I explained to him the difference between a fire they would have and a fire in our industry is certainly look at the color of the smoke, and that's plastic, grease, oil, transmission fluid, brake fluid, you name it, but a lot more dangerous, a lot more hazard if you were to inhale it, whereas if you have a fire in a mulch pile, usually it's like burning leaves, it's a lot of smoke, not a lot of flame. But certainly it took them 4 days to put out their fire. That was round the clock, spraying water on it the entire time. This was a view from our yard showing the fire. When the fire department, other businesses, including Ohio Mulch, they asked us a bunch of questions. We were more proactive with the fire department. We invited them in. We gave them a tour. And one of the things that we said was having a fire in mulch pile or even scrap seal yard is really nothing different from a campfire. If you want to put it out, you need to spread it out. Spread it out on the ground. And that facility had absolutely nowhere to spread the material. His yard was so jam-packed. And the day they came in, we organized a helicopter ride to take the fire department up in a helicopter to show them, their facility, to show just how jam-packed they were even after the fire and how much extra space we have with our facility just in case there's a fire, you have a place to put it. Normally, if we have a fire in our mulch pile, you know, in the wintertime, that's when you're most susceptible. And what we do is we look for steam coming off the pile, and if the steam dissipates, it's just vapor. If the steam has a little bit of gray to it, has a little odor to it, that's where you're going to have a hot spot. So what we do is we take that spot, we carve around it to prevent the fire from continuing to burrow inside the pile. We pull it out, we put it on in another spot in the parking lot, and we extinguish it that way. The auto shredding company just had absolutely nowhere to put it. It was just, you could see the flames from our facility. You could see the flames from the freeway. They shut down a bunch of roads, and they didn't even have enough water pressure. They had to close some of the roads just to run fire hydrant lines from across some of the streets just to help put out this fire. But having the ability to just take your material and spread it out. The other thing we told them is if we do have a hot spot and we're working on it, we don't get it finished that day. A lot of times we're able to just bury it, come back the next day and continue to work on it. Whereas something like this, it's pretty scary. The other thing is, in today's world with the EPA and some of the regulations that they have as far as storm water quality, parts per million, sometimes, a lot of times, it's the solution to pollution is dilution. So even though the standards today is, hey, you may need a 2-acre pond or a 3-acre pond, we took this 37-acre facility, we installed a 6-acre pond. And we did get a scheduled visit with the EPA, and they came out, they looked at the water quality. They even said, I don't even need to test the water. I can tell just how clean the water is. So it gave us just an instant free pass or a pass, knowing that we don't have to go through a bunch of steps, putting in a belt press, putting in other settling ponds. This one big, large 6-acre pond pretty much took care of our needs and the requirements for today's standards and for tomorrow's standards as well. So this is a storage lot we have on the south side of Columbus, September of 23 versus September of 24. This is during construction, the first picture in 23, and the other one is, we're still under construction, still waiting for a building permit to put up a couple buildings on the property. This is the same thing. We took a 43-acre site in Cincinnati. It was a cornfield in September of 23 versus September of 24. On the far left side of the picture that you see for September of 24, again, we put in a 6-acre pond. And so it has very little water in it. Just it's new, still under construction. But we figured that this would be a better way to satisfy some of the regulatory issues with stormwater management and water quality. This is what that facility looked like in December, or January, this past January. We had about 600 semi-loads of hardwood on the facility and about 2,000 semi-loads of bagged goods. Filled it up quite nicely, but in that facility, what that does is it processes topsoil It also, we use it as storage lot to store bulk mulch and then finished goods. So that's all I've got there. Any questions?
Jim, what solid surface do you have on that?
Right now, it's about 25 acres of solid surface. In this particular facility here, we actually did a June of 23. Our builder came to us and said, there's no way you're going to put this parking lot in this year. Your ground is just too wet. So Kent Roeder had a product that you mix with blacktop grindings. And it's like a... It's a protein-based or soy-based product that reactivates the blacktop. So we took the blacktop grinding, spread it on the parking lot, 4 inches thick, and then we rototilled this this soy-based product into it, and it capped off the parking lots and allowed it to the sub-base to dry quickly. And within a month, we're able to then pass a proof roll, and we're able to blacktop this lot from that product. But, yeah, it's a nice facility. It's about 3 miles from our main yard.
And it's concrete or
paint? It's concrete underneath the poly buildings, but it's blacktop and gravel on the rest.
Can you explain how the purpose of the pond is?
So we sheet graded this entire parking lot. So there's no stormwater drains in the ground. The disadvantage of storm pipes in the ground is when mulch from your parking lot goes into the storm drains, it stays in there and ferments. And then the oxygen level of your stormwater when it leaves the pipe doesn't meet today's standards. So by sheet grading into that parking lot, and then before any water can get to the pond, it travels through a gravel space, a 50-foot wide gravel space. So the gravel helps to catch the particulates. And by having the parking lot at a 1% slope instead of 2% or 3%, the water, stormwater, can't pick up the velocity to carry the mulch into the pond. It has a tendency to lose the particulates along the way. And whatever it does able to capture and carry, it gets lost in the gravel. So the pond is, it controls the amount of natural flow you would have had coming off the parking lot anyways. So if you normally drain at 1,000 gallons a minute, the pond, retention pond, also keeps that flow at the same rate. But by having a bigger pond, we'll still discharge at that 1,000 gallons a minute, but we'll hold more water for that any particles that's in the stormwater to settle out. All right. Thank you very much. Oh, yes. Yeah, so we do a native soil. It's not a soil that is a potting mix that a grower would use. It's more like someone needs dirt to fill in a spot in their front yard or whatever. More like a contractor soil. We produce about a million bags of what I call commodity soils, and then we also do a lot of bulk topsoil. And this facility services 14 other locations that we have in Columbus. And we have a similar one, this one here in Cincinnati. This one here does the same thing. And so the native soil is, when we developed this property, we acquired about 13,000 cubic yards of topsoil off the property. So, all right, thank you very much.
Okay, with the treasurer's permission, I'll present the audit report from our independent auditors for the fiscal year 2023. And at the end of last year, we had $848,000 in cash equivalents, $24,000 in accounts receivable, $6,000 in restricted cash, which was from the foundation, and property assets of $22,000, for a total of $900,000 in total assets. Our liabilities, we had accounts payable of $2,000. We had deferred revenues of $266,000, which is dues that extend beyond the current fiscal year. And then we had net assets of $632,004, total liabilities of $900,851. This is a consolidated report, includes both the foundation, the MSC, and the MSC Foundation. Our income, we get 27% of our annual revenues from the annual meeting. We get 6% from investments. We get 30% from certification and dues, 34%, advertising 2%. Now, most trade associations get the vast bulk of their dues from membership dues, or their revenues from membership dues, and ours is only 34%. So we've reached out, distributed the cost, our revenue base over dues, annual meeting, and the certification program, which makes things more even and less subject to change. Treasurer's report consolidated. The income, meetings and courses, $208,000. Advertising, $18,000. Certification is $225,000. Member dues are $259,000. Our interest earnings were $26,000. Our investment income was $20,000. So our total revenue for 2023 was $757,000. Our expenses, 20% are admin expenses, and 80% are program expenses. Our direct expenses were certification, $200,000. Meetings and seminars were $177,000. Member support, which are the newsletters, the regulatory, and other such activities, $177,000. Member support, $155,000. We didn't have any research projects last year or special projects. Our G&A or overhead is $132,000, so our total expenses were $666,000, giving us a net revenue of $91,805. Does anybody have any questions about the Treasurer's report or the financial report? And if not, is there a motion to approve the financial report? Who was that? Steve? Liffers?
No.
Moved? I need a second.
Second.
Hands up. I didn't see. Sean Martini? Any discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain. Motion is passed. Okay. Next item. Our membership report. Our membership has reached, has grown to the highest level it has been in our history. We're now producer members, Category A, 21 members, Category B, 2 million to 5 million, 27 members, Category C, 6 to 15 million, 29 members, Category D, 16 to 25 million, 7 members, Category E, 26 to 50 million, 4 members, Category F, 51 to 150 million, 1 member, and Category G, over 150 million, 3 members. We have 37 affiliate members, and those are our suppliers, equipment manufacturers, etc. We have 2 associate members. Associate members are service suppliers. They don't supply equipment, but they provide equipment like brokers, etc. We have 1 nonprofit member, no foreign members, for a total count of 132 members. Our annual meeting attendance. 2023 was the largest annual meeting in over 50 years at 221. We are now at 226. And Shelley tells me that is the fourth year in a row you have set a record consecutively. We have 104 producer members, 84 affiliate and associate members, 24 non-members, 12 speakers and staff, and 2 press, for a total of 226. Our program activities, APCO representation, I just realized that the presentation view is on the side, so I'm going to wing it. APCO presentation. We do represent the council before the Association of Plant Food Control Officials. These are the state regulators of fertilizer and lime materials, and generally control a lot of the package regulation rules and requirements. And we have been working with the APCO on a program which we are calling the All Natural Product Certification Program, which had been in development for about the last year. And those of you who are at the committee member yesterday got an insight into what that is. But we are looking to launch a All Natural Certified Mulch Product category, hopefully early next year. And we are coordinating our efforts and getting input from APCO. We also use APCO as an opportunity to contact state regulators when we have issues having to do with label changes, label requirements, people who have regulators who take exception to labels or want label changes that may or may not be appropriate. It's easier for me to talk to them about misinterpretations of their law than it is you, because they can't put me off sale. So I can argue with them. And we do. And if you have those kinds of issues, feel free to give us a call. We just completed a revised consumer mulch survey in September. We'll be publishing that in the newsletter this next newsletter this month. We did a consumer soil survey last year, which was very useful. We made some data improvements on that. We have new and extended state legislative and regulatory monitoring. So a lot of you, we're now reporting everything weekly on changes in regulations in states for mulches, soils, and PFAS. PFAS, because we view that as a potential that we're not a target, but we may be an unintended consequence. Okay. And some of our concern is that some of the regulations that the states are passing that would exempt landowners who have been putting biosolids and other sanitary effluent materials out on pasture land and maybe selling that to you for topsoil. It may have PFAS. They're getting exemptions from the liability for that. We're not. So we're concerned about what may happen there. And we're monitoring the state regulations, and those are being reported in the weekly reports. Plant manager training course, we just had our first 2-day plant manager course. It was very successful. We had 38 participants from 15 companies. There were, we covered fire control procedures, fire management, improving your coloring operations. We had a session on maintenance, preventative maintenance. We did a whole day on weights and measures and figuring package fill and machine impacts on filling packages, variability of packages. That was a 2-day session. As I said, first time we've had that. Looks like we're probably going to repeat that, but on a 2-year basis, but that's still being considered by the board. The bulk measurement committee has been looking to develop a best management practice for bulk management. That's still an ongoing committee activity, and anybody that's interested in it, should contact me or the committee chair, Ben Ballard. Certification committee and the All Natural Certification Committee, again, that's an ongoing committee activity, and you should contact Kay Young for as the chair of that committee if you're interested in either the certification in general or the All Natural Certification Committee activities. The NNQ newsletter and our weekly digest reports come out on a regular basis. The newsletter comes out every other month. And the reports come out every Tuesday or Wednesday of the week. We will be recycling the legislative reports. Right now we're at a low ebb. You'll notice there have not been very many activities reported during the weekly reports, simply because most of the states are not in session. We only have like 8 states that are still in session right now. But in January they all go back into session. And usually by late January, mid-February, we'll be tracking 200 to 300 bills weekly. So we try to keep it down to the ones that we feel would have the most impact on you or you would have the most interest in. We do track them with keywords that you can find on our website. If you would like any, we do have the ability to track specific issues with specific keywords. So if you have a specific issue that you're interested in a state or nationally, call me and I'll be happy to discuss adding it to or producing an additional report for you. We've got the resources. We should use them. And special alerts. We did send out a special alert in the newsletter recently about a Maryland soil conditioner regulation, emergency regulation that was proposed that was completely crazy, had heavy metal limits that no one would be able to meet. We did respond to the state and objected to their proposal and also pointed out that their heavy metals limits were a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of what the federal limits were. And this did not go through public comment. We urged them to put it back through public comment. We joined with a coalition of other organizations who made the same response to Maryland, and that is being followed closely. They have not responded, and they have withdrawn the proposed regulation. You can find that on the website. There was the letter that we sent and the regulation, if you missed it in the newsletter. But it would be virtually impossible to register a soil conditioner in the state of Maryland, or even a mulch in the state of Maryland. Nobody could meet those limits. And MDA soil conditioner, sorry about that, jumped ahead of myself. And the Mulch and Soil Research Foundation. We do have a nonprofit foundation. The foundation has done specific research projects that have been essential to the industry in the past. We do have the fire, spontaneous combustion, and mulch and soil temperature profile study that was done here in San Antonio with the Southwest Research Institute in 2019, and which basically responds to the issue of lawn and garden claims of spontaneous combustion at 4-inch layers in garden applications, which basically the paper demonstrates is virtually impossible. That can't happen. There has to be an external ignition source. So if you have an accusation that your mulch is spontaneously combusted in a lawn or garden application, call me. We'll send you a copy of the report, or you can get a copy of the report off the website. And we also did a study several years ago on Prop 65 labeling requirements and whether or not you needed to comply with Prop 65. There's a whole formula for that if you're involved in that market. And I would point out that even if you're not directly selling into the market, California does not care how your product got into California. If it can be bought in California, you are responsible for it no matter how it got there. So if you sold it to someone who sold it resold it and redistributed it, that's still your responsibility. The Federal Legislative Monitoring Program, again, we have in every report that I send out weekly, there's a link to, and we send you what happens each week in that report. But this link that you get every week takes you to a series of maps and tables that you can go state by state and see all the activity at all times, 24/7. So it's not just what happened in the last week, it's what's happened in this legislative session. So if you want to backtrack something, or somebody says something about a piece of legislation and you want to look it up, you can track it here. And if you can't find it there, give me a call and I'll track it down for you. We also do regulatory monitoring. We follow the state regulatory registers that are published, generally either bimonthly or quarterly in each state. And these are either notices of new regulations or proposals for hearings and comments on new regulations. That can also be found on our website, and you can track that state by state. It's a map that looks like this, and the darker the color, the more regulations are at hand to be reviewed. Let's see. Certification program. Pleased to report that premium potting soils, we have 59 certified potting soils, standard potting soils 1, landscape soils and amendments 49, specialty soils 2, mulches 187. We have currently no applications in process, so our total certified products are 298. We've remained rather steady. We went through a dip in certified products last year when about 50 products were withdrawn because of label changes and things that were moving out of the market, but that's been replaced by new products, so we've maintained a steady flow of support for the certification program, and we're hoping that the all-natural program will increase that even more. I want to thank the audit team, certification, Lonnie Nelson, right here. Kevin Nelson, they're part of our certification team that runs out, and every now and then it'll get Catherine Nelson to go with him. And they go out into the field in five regions. They'll do 1,000 miles in 4 or 5 days, picking up samples of certified products from retail, and they send them back to the lab in shallow water, and we test them. Once we certify a product, it's your responsibility to maintain your compliance, and we trust you to do so, but we also test. And there's a lot of field work involved, and we appreciate the efforts that it takes on the road. Next item is election of directors. Directors serve a 3-year term, and each year 4 seats expire because we have 12 directors. All directors serve without compensation or travel reimbursement. So if you heard them arguing about where they're going to go for the next board meeting, and they say, well, we want to go to Hawaii, they can go to Hawaii. They're paying for it. We're not. Okay? We're not going to Hawaii, by the way.
No, we're going to Milwaukee.
We're going to Milwaukee. You have a very rational board. And the current directors whose terms expire are Tom Kohut from Grant County Mulch, Byron Morgan, Mountain State Bark, Mountain West Bark, Ricky Ortega from Kellogg Garden Products, and Jim Weber from Ohio Mulch. They are completing their terms for 2021. Huh? Oops. Ah, we're back. Okay. As I said, they're just completing their terms for 2021 to 2024, which brings us to our elections. We put out a request for nominations in the June NNQ. I think we did it also in the April NNQ. Then the nominations committee met. We didn't get any recommendations or volunteers, so the nomination committee polled the board, and the current directors whose terms expire are willing to re-up for another three-year term. So the nominating committee submits the Tom Kohut of Grant County Mulch, Byron Morgan of Mountain West Bark, Ricky Ortega of Kellogg Garden Products, and Jim Weber of Ohio Mulch for another three-year term for 2024 to 2027. Are there any additional nominations? Is there a motion to close nominations? Randy? Tyre, close nominations. Is there a second? I need a second. Steve Liffers. All right. Is there any discussion? All not in that case, I'll entertain a motion to elect the nominees by acclamation. Who was it? Larry Deuce? Second by?
Second.
Don't recognize the voice. Ben Ballard. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain. Congratulations. Thank you. I want to emphasize again, these guys serve without compensation. They pay their own expenses. They meet every quarter. They meet in between when things need to be done. They travel on their own dime, and we buy them a dinner every quarter. That's it.
You're not selling it real well, Bob.
But it's an excellent board. I've served on many with many boards. It's an excellent board. It does you well, and in addition to that, we have open board and committee meetings. We put announcements in the newsletter. If you're in the area, if you want to attend, if you want to sit in and observe, we are not a closed organization. You are welcome to attend and participate at any time. Same rules apply. You pay your own expenses. but we are an open group. So anytime, and you'll see in every newsletter, I'll tell you when, and we're having our next meeting, and where. I won't tell you the exact location because we need you to confirm to us that you're coming, so that we'll have space and accommodations. And that's about the only way I can get you guys to call and tell us you're coming is you need to know where we are. But other than that, we're happy to have everybody participate. All right. Well, that was a surprise. That was supposed to come up second. No, your name was supposed to come up second. But we have special recognitions now. And there are people who serve the board and the membership. And each year, someone gets the daunting task of becoming the annual meeting program chair, who has to go out and decide what's best, what do you need to know, what do you want to know, who's got that information, and how do we get it in here for you to take advantage of it. And this year we were blessed with Jessica Bain from Garrick LLC, who is our program chair for the 20 for the 53rd annual meeting 2024. So we'd like to present Jessica with a recognition. If you would come forward. Great. Thank you so much. Next, we have recognition plaques for outgoing board members who are now not outgoing, but their recognition for the last 3 years' service is it needs to be. They need to be recognized for their last 3 years' service. So, first to receive their recognition is Tom Kohut of Grant County Mulch for his recognition as a director.
I think you had three Grant County members in those 3 years.
Yeah, I think we probably did. Byron Morgan of Mountain West. Ricky Ortega, Kellogg, Garden Products. And Jim Weber. Okay. Some of you may have known John Lieber. But for those of you who may not have known him or had the pleasure to know him, he was president of Swanson Bark and Wood Products in Longview, Washington. He joined the MSC in 2004, and became a board member in 2009. He was a former CPA, so he became the perennial treasurer for 6 years running. He served on numerous committees. He was a program chair for an annual meeting. He was always available to members who had a question. It was his nature to be a mentor. He represented the council and the industry extremely well with other organizations. And in 2015, John and several employees were inspecting a storage area with concrete block walls when the ground gave way and the walls collapsed. And he got his employees out. But he was trapped in the rubble, and he died of the injuries. To honor John and his exceptional record of dedication to his employees, the council, and the industry, the board of directors created a John Lieber Distinguished Service Award as the highest honor we bestow on members of the council and the industry for outstanding service. This year, the board is pleased to recognize two exceptional contributions of two members. And the first member we wish to recognize is Ken Allen. Ken Ken joined the council in 2004 as the president of Hope Agri Products in Arkansas. And before combining resources with council, before combining resources with Oldcastle Lawn and Garden, where he is now a senior executive. He served on the MSC Board of Directors for more than a decade. He served in numerous committees. He served, has shared his expertise on annual meeting programs. He's my go-to guy if you want to figure profitability on manufacturing process. This is a guy to talk to. He's always willing to share his experience and his expertise with all who are wise enough to seek it out. Now, when the council was lobbying to include mulch and in as an agricultural product for exemption under transportation and hours of service rules, we asked, we noticed that a lot of committee members on the Ag and the Commerce Committee were in the Southeast, so we asked Ken, gave him a call and said, Ken, would you mind if you could maybe call guys in Arkansas and ask if they would support this project? And he did. And he called Arkansas, and he called Mississippi, and he called Louisiana, and I think he threw in Texas and Georgia and Florida. He kept calling people. And these were people that Ken knew. They were names I knew. These were people Ken knew. And although we did not get classified as an ag commodity, ultimately, from these efforts, we got horticultural products classified as an ag commodity, and anything that supports a horticultural commodity is a farm supply, and a farm supply has exactly the same exemptions for transportation and hours of service as farm commodities. So we got the same thing we wanted with the help of Ken's efforts. These are just a few examples of Ken's history of service to the council and the industry. I could go on about this, but the time is limited, and it should be obvious why Ken is getting this award now, and will be the 2024 recipient of the John Lieber Distinguished Service Award on the Mulch and Soil Council. Please join me in congratulating Ken. And Cindy, would you come up? Cindy.
In 1979, we started our business in Hope, Arkansas as Hope Agri Products. Cindy and I had been married 5 years to the date. I hated to take off work my first day for our anniversary, so we went ahead and worked through that, and I don't think we've really celebrated many since then. But it was I visited with several people about our history. And we really started producing a commercial grade potting mix, 3 cubic foot potting mix, trying to sell it to growers. We thought this would be an ideal business. So when we started our company on February the 22nd, we had zero business. By May, we were really rolling, putting a lot of miles on a car. By May, we still had zero business. So we built it from nothing to what we built it to in 2014. My partner was Tom Duncan, that's passed away by now. So we enjoyed all the efforts we put into growing our company. So I was able to start a company, grow a company, and then we sold to Oak Castle in 2014. And I was also, had the privilege to work for Scott Salmon, that was president of Lawn and Garden at the time, and now Joe Ertle. So I've had three people that I've worked with in this business all this time, and they couldn't have been better to work for. When you talk about the old times, I can tell you about that because I was there. Some of you were. If you weren't part of starting a company and you come in and work for a family or a company that started their own business, you'll be proud of them for that because there's a lot that goes into that, and you'll never feel better about yourself than that. So thank you very much. Enjoyed it for the years. See ya.
Okay. Thank you, Ken. Our second recipient of the 2024 John Lieber Distinguished Service Award is... What happened? Hold on. That's not supposed to happen. Come on. There we go. All right. Our second recipient of the John Lieber Distinguished Service Award is Don Duggar. Don came to the industry in 1988 as a plant manager. He spent almost 35 years with Scott's company. While a plant manager in Lawrenceville, he expanded the production operations to become one of the largest facilities in the country. And he, at his retirement, held the record of more than 21 years of no reportable accidents. That's an industry record. Before his retirement 2 years ago, Don was the director of growing media operations for the Northeast region of Scott's company. Concurrently, during his remarkable professional career, Don was in politics. He was in public service and was elected to the local, was it Broadnax? Broadnax City Council at the age of 21. And he's been the mayor for, how long have you been mayor?
10 years.
10 years. That's what I had. Been mayor for 10 years. He's been very active volunteering the council. He shared his safety expertise many times as a speaker or a panelist on multiple council programs and annual meetings. He's conducted one of the first bulk measurement experiments in the state of Virginia for weights and measures. And he shared that results with the industry and has been an instructor with the plant manager's training course on that for, I looked it up, it's 20 years. More recently, Don has also become a regular instructor on fire management BMPs at the new plant manager's training course. And whatever we ask, and we have asked a lot, his answer has always been, whatever you need, wherever you need it. That is much appreciated. Again, that's just a small sample of Don's history in the industry and with the council, and obvious why he deserves the recognition of the 2024 John Lieber Distinguished Service Award. So I'd like to invite Don and his wife Mary up to be recognized.
Fill it all. Yeah.
I'm not going to talk long, but I do want to say this. I've been lucky enough to be attending this organization for well over 20 years. And, you know, we all have things that we don't believe in, and then you have things that you do believe in. I believe in this organization because many years ago, we had no certification. We didn't have the lobbyists that we have. We didn't have the training that we have. And everything this organization does benefits the people in this room, whether you're an owner or administrator or a plant manager or an operator. The things that they pull together helps this industry, our credibility, our quality, and that's why I believe in it, and that's why I'll continue to do what I can to support you in years to come.
What makes this organization are the exceptionally good people in it. So we thank you all. Don't need that. The 54th annual meeting, time and place, will be September 30 to October 2, 2025 at the Hilton Lake Buena Vista at Disney Springs in Orlando, Florida. Mark that on your calendar. All right. Is there any other business to come before the council? If not, we'll take a motion to adjourn. Steve Liffers. Second, Byron Morgan. All those in favor say aye. Opposed? Abstained. We are adjourned. Our opening reception and exhibit will be at 4:30 in the La Vista room on the 22nd floor. And it's sponsored by Vermeer. So, make your way up to the 22nd floor around 4:30. And as for that, thank you. We appreciate your participation and your support.